Well, Happy New Year, North Langley. I hope you have had a wonderful Christmas and a great New Year's celebration. I want to remind us that we are here in 2021, 2021 AD. A number of months ago, I reminded our church that AD stands for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. 2021, the year of our Lord. No matter what happens, this is his year. He is good, he's faithful, and he's present. And I would love to lead us in prayer as we begin this new year as a church family. Holy God, we come to you and we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And we thank you for the fact that that you never left our side. You walked with us. You were so present and good to us amidst the upheaval of 2020. Lord, we were able to cling to your love in new ways, to be reminded of your faithfulness. And so we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And we cling to you again here in 2021. And today, as we look at this story of you, Jesus, wanting to be in your Father's house, we pray that this would be the theme for us in this coming year, that we would cling to you, and that we would long to dwell in your presence. And so we give this time to you, open our eyes. We ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, fill us. We need you. And God, I pray that today would be a massive encouragement to us as we seek to be faithful, to walk with you, and to follow you. And so we love you. In your name, amen. Okay, so North Langley, we begin this new year with a fascinating story. We pick up the story after the birth story that we've just walked through in the last number of weeks, and we're with a 12-year-old Jesus. Jesus in middle school, and he's gone missing. 12-year-old Jesus has gone missing. It's the only story we have of Jesus when he's not a baby or a grown man. This is it. We have one story of him being 12 years old. Well, let's dive in to that story. So, if you'll join me, Luke 2, verses 41 to 44. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Okay, so Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the annual Passover festival, the Passover feast in Jerusalem. The Passover, if you're new to Christianity, just so you know, the Passover was one of the three big celebrations that the Jewish people would celebrate every year. There were three big feasts, and Passover was one of them. Jews would travel from all over to come to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. Now, they would have traveled, Jesus' family, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, would have traveled from Nazareth south to Jerusalem. And they would have traveled about 150 kilometers on foot from Nazareth to the big city. And that would have taken several days. And they would have traveled in a big caravan of people, many from Nazareth, and most from an area called Galilee. They would have traveled together to the city. Now, they go to the city, they celebrate the feast of Passover, but on the way home after the feast, after about a day, Mary and Joseph realize they can't find their son. Jesus has gone missing. And they're looking around amongst relatives, and they can't find him. This is every parent's worst nightmare, to not be able to find your child. In September of 2014, Tanya and I got a message from a friend of ours living in Ontario. She's a good friend, and she told us that her 2-year-old niece had gone missing. Her parents work on a farm, and the 2-year-old, simply on this farm in southwestern Ontario, had just walked away. And they couldn't find her. A major search operation began through the night. 25 police officers, canine units, over 60 volunteers came to help the family. And they searched and searched throughout the night. The next morning at 10 a.m., she was found alive and healthy. And the family was praising God that it was actually a warmer night there in Ontario in September. It could have been quite cold, but it was a warmer night. So she was safe in that way. And they found her. They found her in a cornfield. She was lost in a cornfield far from their house. But praise God for the happy ending. Again, losing a child is a parent's worst nightmare. Imagine what Mary and Joseph are feeling. They know what the angel Gabriel had said about this child, and here this child has gone missing. What would they have been feeling? Now, when reading the story, some of us begin to wonder, how come it took a whole day for Mary and Joseph to realize that Jesus is gone? That seems a little odd, right? This sounds crazy to us. It sounds crazy to us because helicopter parenting wasn't really a thing in Jesus' day. Some of you are aware of what helicopter parenting is. It's something Tanya and I are trying to avoid doing. It's to hover over a child's life, to hover over them. Some of you know Beverly Goldberg from the TV show The Goldbergs. Such a funny show, The Goldbergs. Beverly is a helicopter parent. If you've seen the show, you know she is the definition of a helicopter parent. I also love this meme. I'm not a helicopter parent. My son wants me to be at his job interviews. I love that. Sure he does. Sure your son does. Well, you see, Jesus doesn't live in this kind of world. Not at all. There was a lot of trust in the community. He would have grown up with a big extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins, neighbors. Everyone lived in these tight-knit communities. And when going to the festival, as I mentioned earlier, they would have traveled together as one large caravan. In this large caravan, you could trust that your children were kind of running around from home to home or aunt and uncle to cousin. And you would trust your child in that wider community. But it's only after a full day of travel where they can't find Jesus among the relatives. And so they go back to Jerusalem and they begin 3 anxious days of searching. Now, 3 days of searching is going to be very important. And I'll mention why it's important at the end of the sermon. But they look for him for 3 days. Let's read verses 46 and 47. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So they found him. It's good news. They find him, and he's been in the temple all along. The temple. This is the center of Jewish worship in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is 12, and in the Jewish community, the age of 12 was considered the age of discernment. This was the final year you were considered a boy. When you turned 13, you would become a man. Modern Jews have a party that's called the Bar Mitzvah. And a Bar Mitzvah is the moment when a young Jewish boy turns 13. Now, the Bar Mitzvah didn't exist at this time with Jesus, but that's the idea. That's what it's getting at. It's getting at this idea that this is Jesus' final year of being considered a child before he becomes a man. So this is a transition year for Jesus. And notice that in his transition year, look where his heart is. In this year, he's soaking up the scriptures. He's with teachers. He's growing in wisdom. He wants to be at the center of worship. And he's even contributing to the discussion. Like, people are beginning to learn from him. He's not even yet considered a man. And these teachers are learning from him. In this transition year, look at his heart. It's beautiful. Verses 48 to 50. Let's read these together. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Mary's anxious, right? "Son, why have you treated us like this?" Jesus would have known the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." That's from the book of Exodus. both Jesus and his parents would have known that commandment, the fifth commandment. So what's happening here? Is Jesus breaking the fifth commandment? Well, what's interesting is these are the very first recorded words we have of Jesus. It's beautiful, right? Like, we don't hear him speak as a baby, obviously. And then next time we hear him, he's 30 years old, about 30 years old. But these are the very first words we hear from Jesus in the Gospels. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? I want you to see how radical this is, North Langley. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I am home. I am honoring my Father. Jesus is well aware of the fifth commandment, but he is making a massive point here. He is home. He is being obedient to his Father. Here, he's going to point to a higher allegiance. He was in his Father's house. He was home. Okay, I'm going to put pause on that. More about that in a moment. Let's keep reading. Verses 51 to 52. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus still does honor the fifth commandment. He is obedient to his earthly parents. He's a good son. He grows in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I would love to just take a quick minute and do a little rabbit trail here for a second. But hey, if there's any kids watching this, maybe you're sitting with your parents, or maybe some of you middle schoolers or high schoolers are tuned in here. And I just want to say a quick word to you. I would love if you would just focus on this verse here as this new year begins. Notice how obedient Jesus was to his parents. It's become fashionable to be disobedient to our parents. But Jesus knew that God had given him earthly parents to watch over him, to care for him. They weren't perfect, not at all, but they loved him. And your parents are a gift to you. Students, I wonder, what would it look like for 2021 for you to be countercultural and honor your parents? The reason why I use that phrase countercultural is because it used to be that maybe a countercultural thing would be to rebel against our parents, but today everybody does that, and there's nothing really special or unique about that. Today, the most countercultural thing I think students can do and kids can do is to actually listen to their parents and obey their parents and honor their parents. Now, I want to bring us all into this here. In 2021, as 2021 here has begun, I want us to focus on Jesus' words. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Verse 49. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? I think this is the first word we need to hear in 2021. That our desire would be to dwell in the Father's house. To dwell in the Father's house. Let's begin to think about this. What in the coming minutes, if you could just even be prayerful, like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me here? How do you want to guide me? How could Jesus' words here begin to shape my life here in this new year? Make that your kind of prayer as you keep listening here. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 84. I wonder if Jesus was thinking about this psalm when he was there in the temple. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. See, this was Jesus's heart. He wanted to be in his Father's house. Do you? Jesus says, I had to be in my Father's house. He didn't just want to be, he had to be. There's like this urgency here. There's this passion here. For all of us coming out of 2020, do you have that urgency and that passion and to go, I have to be in my Father's house? Like the state of my heart and the things that I was thinking about and the way I was processing things and my relationships, no, I can't live that way anymore. In 2021, I have to be in my Father's house. Let's talk about a house. What is a house? Well, a house is a place of rest. It's a place where we're nourished, we're fed. It's a place of safety. It's a place of authority. It's a place of community. I recognize that a lot of homes or houses maybe don't have all those, and you know, all of our homes are broken in many ways, but now think of the Father's house, your Heavenly Father's house. It's where we're shaped and formed. Jesus wants us to rest in the Father's house, to be fed in the Father's house, to be nourished on the wisdom and truth that the Father wants to give us, to find the authority of the Father in his house, again, to be shaped and formed in this new year in his house. Again, to Mary and Joseph, Jesus is saying, I'm home. This is home. He's giving them a sign. He's pointing them to what his life will look like. He will dwell with his Father. He will give total obedience to his Father. He will obey him. He'll seek to be shaped by his Father alone. So he's saying, I am home. I'm home here. I want to ask it this way. Whose roof do you live under? Whose roof do you live under? Jesus made it clear that later in his life, in his teachings, he made it clear that each of us will have to ask this question time and time again as we follow Jesus. Whose roof do you live under? When Jesus was in his early 30s, he approached numerous people and asked them to follow him. He welcomed them into his life, a life of discipleship. And I want you to hear how one such person responded. We're going to flip to Luke chapter 9, and we'll be verses 61 to 62. He asked someone to follow him, and still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Okay, Jesus, let the guy say goodbye. Let the guy say goodbye. You've asked him to come, follow you. Can he not go home and say goodbye to his parents? One little kiss for his mom? A hug for his dad? Really? Well, Professor Daryl Johnson and Kenneth Bailey both help me understand this passage, that when we read the word goodbye, that in this Middle Eastern culture, the actual word would be take leave of. Take leave of. So in a Middle Eastern world, you were supposed to go home to get permission from your parents to leave those who are staying behind, right? So to take leave of. So what you're doing is you're actually walking away from the family. You're walking away from certain responsibilities that you might have in that home. So it required you to come to your parents and ask that question. So this is not a hug goodbye. It's not a kiss your mom goodbye situation. This is somebody who is saying, there is a higher authority in my life currently. Right? I live under that authority. And now Jesus is analyzing this and he's going, no. When I call you, like you're not going to fall under their authority and mine, you're going to be exclusively under my authority. Are you always looking back to another authority? You're looking back to your old home. Now use home as a metaphor here. You keep looking back to your old place of authority, how you used to live, the ways in which you used to be shaped. They keep having an authority over your life. And Jesus is calling you in discipleship out of that place here in 2021 to follow him, to say, whose roof are you living under? In this story here, the authority of the parents is higher than the authority of Jesus. And now what does Jesus say? He says, you can't look back when you're plowing a field. When you're plowing a field, you can't look back. No farmer does that. You keep your eyes focused forward on your true authority, on the goal. So who is in control of your life? Whose roof are you living under? When Jesus is just 12 years old, in this year of transition, he makes it very clear. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Jesus will dwell under the roof of his heavenly Father, and he calls us into that same relationship. As I wrote this sermon, I was thinking a lot about fathers and children. And as I wrote the sermon, Micah, my son, he's 4, and he just really wanted to spend time with me. And I kept putting him off. And he's like, I just kept saying, wait until daddy's done, wait until daddy's done. And I felt terrible. Like I did this so often when I was working on this sermon. And it just struck me. I was like, our Heavenly Father doesn't do this. He longs to pull his kids into what he's doing. He has time for us. He has time for you. He wants to pull you in, to give you attention, to care for you. Listen to a little bit more of the psalm of the psalmist in Psalm 84. He writes, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. He's giving a picture of the temple, right? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Think back for a minute to 2020. How did you dwell in the tents of the wicked? What did your heart look like in 2020? Here in 2021, how might we dwell in the Father's house? Just a reminder, here on this first Sunday of the new year, I want to remind us of the journey we've been on. If you'll remember, a couple years ago, we went through a series called Life Together. We have been thinking about discipleship for the last 3 years. We have wanted our whole church to focus on discipleship. And we've used a word for a disciple. We've used the word apprentice, an apprentice of Jesus. We want to continue to think about how Jesus is calling each of us to live. And so we've gone through pretty big pillars in what it means to be a disciple. So again, 2 years ago, we walked through a series called Life Together, and we talked about community, that every disciple of Jesus, every follower of Jesus has to be thinking a lot about community. Who are the people in your life that you're accountable to? Who are the people you're loving and walking with? Hopefully most of you remember that series, and we made a cry for our whole congregation to be in community. Secondly, about a year and a half ago, we did a series, or a little over a year ago, called On Our Knees. It was all about prayer. And we wanted to grow in our heart for prayer, in listening to the Lord and in communicating with him. It was called On Our Knees. And then just this last fall, we worked through a series on scripture, how to read the Bible. I hope you're tracking with what we're doing. We want to be apprentice to Jesus. So community, prayer, scripture. In the spring, we're going to look at the practice of repentance and confession. That's the next practice we're going to look at. What does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus who practices confession and repentance, who takes sin seriously and wants to live a life of purity? So again, just track with us these 3 years. We're growing in this, and we want to continue to keep growing in 2021. We want to be disciples who make disciples. You'll know Matthew 4:19 has been the verse that we focused on. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of people. This continues to be his invitation for us as a church. And to be reminded that the primary place where we grow is in community. Back to that first Life Together series, you'll remember we're calling people into life groups and apprentice groups. Life groups are groups of 8 to 12 people who live life together, who support one another. And apprentice groups are groups of 3 or 4 people who go deep and are able to share some of the more vulnerable things and prayer for each other and really challenge each other as we follow Jesus together. Apprentice groups, life groups. We want to continue to remind our whole church family that this is where it's at as we grow. So there's nothing new here. This is how we're called to dwell in the Father's house. By following Jesus as his disciples, he'll show us how to dwell in the Father's house. And as we dwell in his house, as he shapes us, would you forgive a mixed metaphor here? I think he shapes us as a house. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit confusing for a second. I love a quote that C.S. Lewis has in his book, Mere Christianity, about how Jesus shapes us in the same way a builder builds a house. This is a bit of a longer quote, but I love it. And so let's read it here. Lewis writes this. He says, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. So this is the beauty of the gospel. As we come to dwell in the Father's house, the Father is delighted to dwell in us. So pardon the mixing of the metaphors here. But man, as we dwell in his house, he's delighted to come into us and shape us like a great builder, building a house that he can live in by his Spirit. You see, when it comes to discipleship, we often see it as this one long dry hall. Is following Jesus one long dry hall? That's the question Dallas Willard asks. Oh well, it's just going to be one long dry hall following Jesus. But no, there's joy in following Jesus into the Father's house. Let me give you a few examples. Like when I'm talking about confessing sin. Man, that sounds like a long, dry hall, right? But have you ever had the experience of coming into the light? Of being able to confess your sins before a few brothers or sisters? Have you had that experience? There's freedom. There is joy in freedom when you step into the light. Or think about gathering in worship. I know we've been limited in that way recently. But gathering in worship, there's nothing better than to be gathered in worship, singing our hearts out to the Lord. Is that one long dry hall? No way. I remember going to a Coldplay concert one time, and this is years ago when I thought they were better than they are now. But I loved Coldplay years ago, and we went to a concert, and I remember going, that was amazing. But being in worship here at North Langley, it's more transcendent. It felt like Coldplay's music stops at the ceiling of BC Place, right? But or GM Place or wherever it was. But when I'm here in worship, there's something transcendent. It's bigger. There's joy. Following Jesus, being in the Father's house, it's not some long, dry hall. No way. There's joy there. What about loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you? Again, it's like, what? But there's joy there. There's freedom there. It's our hearts get set free from bitterness. What about reading the scriptures? We looked at this in the fall, but rather than seeing it as some long, dry hall, we go, no, this is like fresh bread out of the oven every morning. Receiving God's truth is like fresh baked bread daily for us. And just a note on that, I want to let you know that we have just started here 2021, our scripture reading program that goes for 2 years. It's not too late. Grab a life journal. You can go online. You can come to the front office, pick up a life journal. You can join us, the whole church. We're going to be reading for the next 2 years, walking through the scriptures together. But rather than seeing it as some long, dry hall, again, seeing it as fresh baked bread. What about things like not pursuing addiction? Again, freedom, life, joy. Do you know the feeling of putting your head on the pillow? Just knowing that you're free. At the end of the day, just putting your head on the pillow going, ah, the addiction did not have control over my life today. There is joy there. There is joy in the Father's house. What about a life of prayer? Again, it could feel dry at times, right? Many of our prayer lives, we've experienced a dryness, but in the Father's house, we move out of a distracted world, a constantly distracted world, and we slow down and we listen to God, and the more we do it, the sweeter it gets. It's beautiful. Life together, again, I've already mentioned this, but community can be hard. I get it. But this is the body of Christ on earth. Together, the love we share for each other in community can be so good. Is it hard at times? You bet, but there's joy there. And again, in the pandemic, it's been hard to get together, but there is a joy here. It is not some long, dry hall in the Father's house. No way. And finally, I want to say this. Have you ever shared your heart and had friends pray for you? When was the last time that you had someone pray over you and for you? There is so much love in that moment. This is what it looks like to dwell in the Father's house, is to pray for one another. A reminder that our prayer team wants to pray for you today. You can reach out to them, prayer@nlcc.ca. Get a taste of that. Pray with someone over the phone. That is a powerful connection that no speed dating, Tinder app, local pub or club or social media site could ever offer. There's a joy here. Following Jesus is not some long, dry hall, but Jesus welcomes us into the Father's house where there is joy. So as I will bring all this to a close here, in what ways in 2020 did we dwell in the tents of the wicked? That looked like divisiveness. It looked like cynicism. Maybe it felt like fear. It felt like negativity. How could we turn from some of those things? And in what ways in 2021 would we dwell in the Father's house? The Father who is delighted to fill us with his Spirit, to give us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Better is one day in the courts, in your courts, than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Recently, I've experienced a season of some lower feelings than I've had before. And I'm not exactly sure where they're coming from, but as I was writing this, I just decided, there are days when I have to choose to dwell in the Father's house. It's not always easy, but to choose to say, Lord, I want you. And I choose to trust Jesus even in this season of sadness. I choose Jesus. I choose to dwell in the courts of the Lord in 2021. Let me pray. Jesus, would you draw us to the Father? Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to be your disciples. And we pray that you would make a way, that you would show us how to dwell in the Father's house and to experience all the joy that there is in sweet communion with you. And so we give 2021 to you, and we pray that you would fill us as a church. We long for the day that we can be together again in this place, worshiping you in person. We long for the day that we can actually gather in small groups to pray for each other in person. But until then, give us the grace to walk filled with your Spirit, filled with the joy of discipleship. We love you. We trust you. And here, would you show us how to run to you, Father, how we run to the Father. We love you. Amen. As you've heard already in our service, today is Communion Sunday. And here in a moment, the worship team is going to come up and they're going to lead us in communion. They're going to sing a couple songs and lead us in communion. But what I want to do is end with the gospel. This story is about Mary and Joseph at the Passover, afraid and anxious because Jesus has been gone for 3 days. And then after 3 days, they find him in the temple. Well, if you will, just fast forward a number of years, because there will come another day. Years later, at the time of the Passover festival, where Jesus cannot be found for 3 days. For 3 days, his spiritual family will live with fear that they have lost Jesus. But on the third day, they will find him alive in the temple, which is his body. This is the good news. This is the good news that we enter 2021 with. And so Jesus invites us by grace into his home forever through the cross and the empty tomb. Amen.